Well, welcome to my podcast. It is Top Talent. And for my guest, I just wanted to give you the jingle that I use as my open. Do you mind if I do this for you?
Not at all.
Okay, here you go. It's very goofy.
Can you sing? Can you dance? Pull a rabbit from your pants? Make a rhyme? Tell a joke? Burp when you drink a Coke? That's not a talent. Nope. Jump a hurdle, do a flip, get your dog to do a trick. Top talent.
Top talent.
Play piano, play guitar, hit a ball really far. Are you a superstar? Let's find out who you are. That's the end of this song. It's already too long. Top talent. Everybody.
Top talent.
This is my podcast. Top talent.
I hope I didn't blast you out there.
No, it was great.
Oh, good. It worked. Okay. Now, I'm going to read you, if you don't mind, an introduction. I did not write this introduction. I would like you to rate the introduction and tell me if it is, if the facts are correct on it or not, because I'm questioning it. And again, I didn't write this. And then I'm going to tell you who wrote it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my podcast. Today we have a very special guest, Thirsty Burlington, one of the most talented and renowned Cher tribute artists in the world. With over a decade of experience performing as Cher, Thirsty has dazzled audiences all over the country with incredible vocals, stunning costumes, captivating stage presence. Now listen to this part. Thirsty has been featured in numerous publications, TV shows, and events, including appearances on America's Got Talent and RuPaul's Drag Race. But Thirsty's journey as a Cher tribute artist is more than just a job or a performance. It's a true passion that is shared with millions of fans around the globe. In my episode here, we're going to dive into Thirsty's story, the creative process, the challenges, the joys of being a tribute artist, and of course, thoughts on the iconic diva herself, Cher. So get ready to turn back time and experience the magic of Cher through the eyes and the voice of the amazing Thirsty Burlington. Now, can you tell me? It's a good intro. I didn't write it.
I want to meet this person.
Yeah. Well, first,
the only thing that's not true is I've never been on America's Got Talent.
Okay. Were you on RuPaul's Drag Race?
I was not, but I was mentioned.
Okay. Now I'm going to tell you who wrote this. ChatGPT. Do you know what ChatGPT is? You've heard about this thing, right?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know it.
Was that something you just type in and it just creates something for you?
Yes. I typed in.
What's it called? IE or I?
Yeah.
Out of touch.
Yeah, that's the name of the actual
company. You can say, like, give me, I need an obituary for my grandmother.
Exactly.
Her name is Doris and she liked golf and it just creates something for you.
Exactly. So I typed in.
Well, maybe they think I've been on America's Got Talent. Maybe I have and I just blocked it out.
Well, one of the criticisms of this thing is that it makes things up. Like sometimes it's
great. Well, then embellish even more.
Yeah, when I read it, I'm wondering if that's really true. So I thought, but otherwise, it's written pretty well. It's all, you know.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's very good. And it's all true. So you are listed here when I did my crack research department, did this, which is me. It says here you feature yourself as a live singer / impressionist / hostess / MC / ordained minister. Now, that's not ChatGPT. Oh. That was from your website, I think.
Yeah.
And all of that. You're doing all that?
Yeah, and I'm a cross-country truck driver. No. But yeah, I got ordained a while back. I had a friend who was like, you should really marry people as Cher. I think they would get a kick out of it.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So you do that as Cher?
Yeah. In fact, I think I have a wedding coming up this summer.
Yeah. Well, I DJ weddings. Maybe I'll hire you to maybe we can go out as a package.
We'll be Donnie Marie.
That's right. Now, do you actually, let's put it this way. I consider what you do an impression. It's not an interpretation,
yeah.
Right? There's a difference.
Yeah, I'm more of like an actor. I really dive right into the character and she mm-hmm. just kind of pops out.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I don't really rely on like flicking the hair and licking the lips.
Right.
And, you know, woo and all that stupid stuff that's kind of easy to do.
Oh, I see what you mean.
I really kind of channel
right.
the character.
You don't make it as a caricature.
You know, I once in a while I'll slip out just to get a laugh, but mm-hmm. I try and stay really close to the pocket.
Because the first time I saw you, I, you know, went on YouTube and looked at it, and I said, oh, my God.
Oh, well, don't look at that.
Oh, no, I thought it was fantastic. And
you know, I really need to update some of that stuff. I actually never put anything on YouTube. It's all done from other people, and I should really take control of it.
Right, right.
But I'm really bad with the internet.
Huh.
When I was in high school, computers were just becoming like a thing that you could do yourself. And I was like, oh, this will never catch on. So I just kind of blew it off, and now my nieces have to show me how to dial a phone.
Well, when I was in high school, have you heard of an abacus? That was me.
Yeah.
I'm going to be 70 in 2 weeks, so I'll tell you.
Good for you.
I was way before.
Right behind you.
Oh, really? I didn't ask how old you are, and I wouldn't do that.
But Cher is just slightly older than you are.
That's right. Cher is, well.
Yes, she, in fact, we share the same birthday.
You share the same birthday. That's amazing.
She copies everything I do.
That's unbelievable. So I was going to ask.
We're 21 years apart.
Wow. And Cher actually has seen you, correct? Or has heard about you?
We've met, but I'm not sure if she's seen me perform live, but she's seen the film that they made about me. And we've connected on stage, like eye-to-eye kind of vibes, and I went to one of her book signings when I was just starting out, and I kind of, like, harassed her.
Well, Bob Mackie has seen you, though.
Bob Mackie is so super. He's the best. Yeah, I was trying to get him to see my show when I first started, and he kind of was avoiding it. I mean, he must see 1,000 shares.
Right.
And then he saw me, and he was like, wow, you're really kind of freaking me out.
Wow. That's big.
He was like, you know, it's like being in her dressing room. And,
sure.
You know, a lot of people can blow smoke up your ass because,
right.
I don't know, whatever. But when you hear it from, like, someone who really knows who this person is, it's quite a compliment.
Now, is he mad that you're...
And now he comes every year.
We had
dinner the last time he was here.
Oh, that's incredible. So most of your performances, well, I shouldn't say that because you are going to come to Albany, but most of the things that you do are in the Provincetown area, or do you travel all over still?
Yeah, I do. I'm in Provincetown during the season, which is like Memorial Day to Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I take some time off, and then I'll go to like Mexico for a little while, and then I'll do some stuff. And I've got some stuff in Palm Springs in May at a place called Toucans, and they're lovely. So I'll bounce around a little bit, but then I really have to kind of concentrate on like designing the show for the next year.
Sure. Well, you're bouncing around.
Last year I did... shared 1975, so I kind of recreated her television show.
Oh, that's interesting.
It was great. It was probably some of my best work. And so this year I'm going up, and I'm going to do 1987.
Now, when you do that, is there a Sonny? Do you have a Sonny?
Well, there was a Sonny in the show you're going to see on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Because I'm doing a little mishmash of all of Cher's career from the 60s to present day.
Gotcha.
But in 1975, during the television show that she did alone, she had just divorced Sonny.
Okay, that's right.
But there was no, I talked about him, but I didn't have Sonny.
Right. And for everybody listening, and a lot of you are going to probably hear this after the fact, unfortunately, because I was late in getting this out. But on April 15th at the Charles Woods Theater in Glens Falls, New York, right here, Thursday's going to be here with Sean Gilley opening, who I used to work with on radio. And you can still go to the box office. I'm going to try to get this up tonight. And you can still go to the box office or go to kevinrichards.com and go to his website, and he can connect you with tickets. And you've met Kevin.
Yeah, we're doing really well. There's just a handful of tickets left.
That's great. I was going to ask.
I know, and nobody even knows who I am up there.
Yeah, this is the whole point. I wanted to help if in any way
help
that I possibly
out.
Could.
Thank you.
But I guess you don't need it. You don't need it. So
no, I need every help, everything I can get.
Now, Cher is not the only impression you do, right?
No. You know, my uncle was an impersonator.
Oh, no.
Back in the 70s when I was a little kid. He was called the Man of 1,000 Voices.
Okay.
So he did like Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin and all that sort of thing. So when I started... I think I was just, I would hear like someone's voice and I would mimic it
right.
to get a laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like do the nun or like my aunt or anybody. I could pretty much parrot anybody's voice. So I started doing that when I was at like 6 years old. And then he would bring me up on stage. And I just started doing voices. So I would do, like, you know, Judy Garland and Elvis Presley and Celine Dion. And I do a great Michael Jackson. I haven't done that in a long time.
That's incredible. So you're really a good dancer, creepy. Too, obviously.
I used to be, and then I had both my hips replaced.
Ow.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, that'll end the Michael Jackson routine, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could probably, you know, I'm back in shape. I can do it. I bounce back really quickly. I've had, like, every body part replaced.
So the first impression you ever did.
You need to go through the airport.
Yeah, that's right. You ring all the bells there.
And the you know, because I've got, like, these implants, you know, these, like, different, you know, I might my shoulder replace. So, like, I beep. Because, you know, there's metal in my body or whatever, titanium. So they're like, okay, we have to frisk you. I'm like, all right. They're like, do you need a woman? Because they're unsure of my gender or something. They're like, do you want a man or a woman? I was like, bring them both. Have a field day.
That is true. You get, I'm sure all these situations, you could write a book on that alone, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I happen to see your movie. I watched it.
Oh, nice.
I had a hard time finding it. I thought it was on Apple. I went on Apple TV because that lists all the movies no matter where they are. And it turned out it was on, like, Fubi. Not Fubi.
It's on Hulu and...
Oh, it's on Hulu too?
It's on Hulu, Amazon Prime.
Oh.
I actually just ran across it the other day too.
Not Fubi, Tubi. There's Tubi and Fubi.
Hey, Tubi, yeah.
Tubi. Yeah, that's what I watched it on, yeah. Now, this was interesting, though. I was a little confused, but that doesn't take much for me to get confused. I wasn't sure whether you were you in the movie or someone was playing you, because in the beginning it lists all the cast and it says Deirdre Lovejoy, Christopher Rivera,
yeah,
Keith Leonard,
yeah,
Margot Pelletier, but it doesn't say
the director.
That's the director, but it doesn't say
it
you.
Didn't say Scott Townsend because I'm not a name.
But it doesn't,
like,
say Scott Townsend.
Isn't that silly?
Yeah.
I think it does somewhere. But if you look it up, it's like the people that have acting credits more than I do. Because basically my own film was kind of the first time I ever did a film.
Right.
And it was about me. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
But Deirdre Lovejoy is a really huge actress. She's like on The Wire, and she was on in The Post. She's done a whole bunch of stuff. And the other actors that they probably mentioned had more credits than I did.
Well, I'll tell you.
But I should have that fixed.
Yeah, you definitely should, because I was confused.
I'm the freaking star.
You're the whole point of the movie, and it doesn't, right. Unless I missed something. But I looked at it again tonight, and I said,
and
no,
Johnny
it doesn't
Bouchant plays teenage Scotty. So we went through, you know, you saw it. So it went from my childhood to current day.
I'll tell you, the kid was fantastic. The mother.
The young one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, the
whole.
The mother, the one that played your mother, was great.
Yeah, Dutch Dieter's amazing.
Yeah. No, the whole movie was very, very interesting. To say it was enjoyable, I can't say it was enjoyable because it was painful to watch. A lot of your background is very painful to see. And for you to...
And I think a lot of us have a similar... You know, a lot of people that I met at screenings and stuff, they were like, you know, this is my life as well.
Right. So I'm sure it's doing a favor for a lot of people to show that they're not alone. So you were really, really... really bullied.
Really what?
Bullied as a child.
Bullied, yeah. I got teased relentlessly.
Well, let me back up and say, all the events in that movie really happened to you? There was no embellishment?
Yeah.
Wow.
Not really.
I'll tell you. Everybody's got to see this.
I'm not as big as a lush as they made me.
Right. Yeah, but the bullying part, like the kid who, well, I don't want to give away the movie, but the boy who broke into your apartment and
was my neighbor.
Wow. And the uncle that you were just talking about, he's the one in the movie that brought you on stage and you were. So that was a real uncle. Wow.
And that really happened. So when he was like, you know, Scotty, what do you want to sing? I was like, I want to sing I Never Wanted to Touch a Man by Captain and Tennille.
Right.
And he was like, well, Scotty, that's for a girl.
Right.
I said, well, can't we just change it to I Never Wanted to Touch a Girl? He was like, well, I guess so. And then I forgot on stage live and said man. And, you know, coming out of a six-year-old's mouth, people were like freaked out, and then I was freaked out.
Yeah, but see, I wasn't.
And I ran into the girls' room.
Yeah,
and
but
the rest is history.
Yeah, but I wasn't sure if you did it on purpose or not.
No, that was a mistake.
It was a mistake.
Yeah,
okay. I thought because you knew that would get a reaction. I mean, I know you were
no,
very
not
young.
At all. I was too young to even know what a reaction
that's,
was.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Well, this kind of gives a little bit of a way, but everybody should watch this movie because it really, really is very, very good.
Thanks. Yeah, it's called Thirsty.
Thirsty. It's called Thirsty. Yeah, absolutely.
And now Thirsty means something totally different.
Well, that's the question. And I was going to ask that question originally without seeing the movie. Why did you call yourself Thirsty? But
well, years and years and tons of years ago when I first started doing drag, I was like 80 pounds. So I was really thin, and that waisty model kind of look was really popular in the early 90s.
Right.
And I was obsessed with this model, Christy Turlington. And so, you know, when I started doing drag, there was like, I was like, I need a name. And my friend was like, well, you love Christy Turlington. Why don't you be Thirsty Burlington?
Oh, is that how it worked?
Well,
okay.
It's as simple as that. And then I actually got to meet Christy Turlington in Provincetown about 5 years ago. She was doing a benefit for her cause. I'm going to forget the cause. It'll come back to me. But I got to introduce her, and she said to me, oh, I've known about you for years. I was like, are you crazy? And she's just stunning. I looked like the crib keeper next to her. It was humbling.
Interesting.
Did I lose you?
No, you didn't lose me. I just saw something.
But I will warn you, my phone does this weird thing. Well, it'll cut us off in the middle of a conversation.
No kidding. Oh, okay.
If we've talked too long, so just call me back.
Okay, no problem. No, I just want to make sure this thing's running. It does say recording.
Yeah, I'll be talking to my mother, and all of a sudden it'll go bloop.
Oh, okay.
Like, hello? I'm like, sorry, it wasn't me. My phone will just, like, cut me off after 20 minutes.
Oh, geez. Does the public take, do you feel now that the public takes what you do seriously? I mean, did you feel in the beginning that the public may be coming out to see these shows thinking it's like a Halloween type of thing? You know what I mean? It's a serious art form. When I see what you do, this is why I'm putting you on here. It's talent. It's a major talent.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are all sorts of different types of drag. I mean, some can be very clownish.
Right.
And, you know, some is just, you know, some guy with a beard, but just having fun and just, you know, there are different levels of it.
Right.
I take what I do really seriously.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, there are good shows and bad shows. I just happen to be really good.
No, you are really, really good. I mean, it's not only the voice you have to get down. I mean, if you're doing like a impression on radio, and I had 30 years in radio, I mean, your voice has to be good. But this is such a visual thing. I mean, the costumes, you want that to be right.
Yeah, and then the better you get, the more pressure you put on yourself to be even better.
Sure.
Like, when does it stop? But I kind of have always felt that way about anything. It's like if you're going to, I mean, be a janitor or someone working at 7-Eleven, just do the best you can.
That's right.
What you're doing. It doesn't really matter. You know, I don't think one is any better than another thing.
Right. Have you ever seen a Cher routine, a Cher impersonator?
A Cher impersonator?
A Cher impersonator that...
There's a lot of... I mean, there are thousands of them.
No, I know that, but I mean...
There are some that look a lot more like her than I do.
Right.
But I've never really heard anyone sound like her like I do.
Right. That's what I was going to ask. Have you ever seen one that do more of an interpretation?
There's a lot of lip syncers out there, but there are a lot of them that look more like her than I do. But I... You know, once you are in it, you know, the audience will see what you tell them to see.
Right, right. Because I've gone to Beatle tribute shows, and I do get, in that case, I do get really disappointed if they're just playing Beatle music.
Bad.
You know, that to me is a band.
Like, no,
right. You know, I want it to look right. I want them to. I don't, you know, I want somebody to look like Paul McCartney.
Like the Monkees, if they're supposed to be the Beatles.
Exactly. And especially in your case, you wouldn't want somebody that's doing an interpretation thing. I'm coming to see Cher, you know. But, anybody that's going to see the show is going to see Cher.
It's going to be fabulous.
Yeah. And Judy Garland, You've done that? How many shows have you done as Judy Garland? Do you do a lot of those?
I used to do Judy in my show every night. So she was a part of, like, I would do Judy, Michael, Cher, Celine, all in one show. Just right. Change costumes and makeup. I've loved Judy because Judy's, you know, she's a little tragic, but, you know, there's something, you know, you just want to hug her, you know?
Right.
And I would do her, like, a little over, like, that's where I was, they mentioned me on RuPaul's Drag Race. I had my friend Jinx Monsoon, who just got off Broadway doing Chicago. She called me and she's like, you know, Scotty, I want to do Judy Garland as one of my characters on the show, but I don't want to do really Judy Garland. I want to do your Judy Garland.
Wow.
Which is like, kind of like Judy blown out of proportion. Like everything is a little super gone crazy.
A caricature.
So it was like, you can go for it. It's like, I don't own anything. So she did my Judy Garland and she won the whole competition, not because of me. Because she's amazing. But she gave me credit. She, you know, a lot of people would just kind of steal your stuff and not give you credit, but she's right. a class act.
Wow. So stole your style?
She didn't steal it. She
not stole, but I mean...
borrowed it.
Borrowed it. Yeah, I should say steal.
With my permission.
Well, yeah.
Entirely.
Well, then you were a big, big factor in it. That's amazing. That's really good.
And a little bit.
How much do you think Sonny Bono really influenced Cher? Do you think there would have been a Cher without Sonny Bono?
Because no, not at all.
He really was a big, big factor.
Oh, and she admits it.
Yeah. He was amazing. I didn't realize the stuff that he wrote. Like, he wrote Needles and Pins. Do you know that song?
Oh, really?
Yeah. He co-wrote that song. I wish I could sing part of it, but I don't. You can't do music on a podcast or they shut you down. You know, the copyright thing. And it's,
right.
Speaking of the copyright thing, it's his wife that... passed the Copyright Term
everything.
Extension Act. Did you know that?
Well, I know, obviously, when he died, everything went to Mary Bono.
Yeah. It extends the term of copyright by 20 years. He and she were behind that, I guess. Sponsors the legislation.
Yeah, I know for the film Thirsty, we asked if we could use some of her stuff.
Hmm.
I don't think she gave us permission, but a lot of other people did.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see... Wait a minute. You
I
didn't do
a song called Stars by Janice Ian.
Okay.
And she was so thrilled about the project, she let us use it. I think she actually might have given it to us for free.
But I'm trying to think. I didn't hear The Beat Goes On or... That's right. You
No.
They did, oh, I, you didn't get permission for those.
I was doing more current Cher. I don't think I did a Sonny and Cher bit.
Oh, that's right. Because of their Sonny and Cher. Do you think they would have given you permission if... Would have been really expensive to get
I
those songs?
I think they might have asked, and it would have been very, very expensive.
Wow.
But I do Turn Back Time and Take Me Home, so we obviously got permission to that.
Sure. It's very slickly done, the movie. It's great. Where was it mostly filmed?
It was filmed in Hudson, New York.
It was right around here. No kidding.
Yeah, right up there.
Wow. How long did it take to actually do the movie?
It's all a blur. It's like maybe... 3 months?
And how long ago
maybe
was
it? I was in it.
How long ago was it?
I think we started filming, you know, when my hips collapsed and I need them replaced, the director was like, we better freaking film this before this kid falls apart.
Right.
So there were actually some scenes where they had to build stairs because I was limping at the time. I was just learning how to walk again. So we had to work around my limp so the audience didn't realize that I was injured.
Oh, boy.
I think we started filming in 2013.
Oh, it's that long
and I
ago.
I think it came out in 2016.
Wow. Was it in any of the regular theaters, or did it go right to...
It was in a lot of film festivals.
Okay.
But I don't think it came out in a theater.
So what was it like?
But I got to travel all over the place. We went to Germany and London.
Mm. So it did well. Amazing. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So what was it like the first time you sat in the movie theater watching this film? It had to be emotional
for
you.
It was freaky, yeah. Yeah, I get emotional thinking about it right now. I mean, not a lot of... I mean, I kind of think of it as like if you were to take a photo album of your childhood or your life and you just flip through the pages, like all of these pages just came to life.
Sure.
Like all of a sudden I'm on set and there's a guy dressed as my uncle.
Right.
or a woman dresses my mother in my apartment and there's a little boy as me. It's like, it was, you know, remember Scrooge where he could kind of see what was, you know, back when he was a kid, and that it was like those kind of vibes. And then if something wasn't completely accurate, I would definitely say something. Because we grew up very, very poor. And I remember going on set and there was like ketchup all over the walls. And I was like, I said, we were poor. We weren't disgusting.
Right.
And I would like call my sister and complain. But they were really good about fixing everything that I had a problem with.
Yeah, they should. Were you in on the writing of the actual script?
Yeah.
Right.
Basically, the whole script was me in interviews. Like, the director would call me and say, okay, tell me about your childhood. So I would tell her my whole entire life and what happened in different scenarios. And then all those little stories got weaved through the film.
Boy, amazing stories. They really are.
And a lot of the dialogue is completely right out of my mouth.
Wow. Well, it's written very well. I'll tell you, I was very surprised how good
Wait,
it was.
Do you see Thirsty 2?
Oh, is it going to be a Thirsty 2?
Electric Boogaloo. No, maybe. I mean, now that the film is over, I've lived a whole another life.
Sure, absolutely. Well, it's been great talking to you, though. And
I appreciate it.
And please, everybody, April 15th, I hope this is...
April 15th, what's today?
April 14th,
Today's Tuesday.
Yeah, I know, I'm going to get this on tonight at the Charles Woods Theater in Glens Falls. And you're familiar with Randy Travis, correct? The country
singer? Of course. He was just there, or he's coming.
Yes. And I did morning radio for 30 years on a country station. And the first year I was on, that was back in 1988, Randy Travis was huge. He was like the Garth Brooks of the time. Well, fast forward, he's still huge. Oh, he's still huge. And fast forward to today, my friend there, Kevin Richards, who you obviously have met because he connected you to the show. He was on the air with me. He said, would you like to open for Randy Travis? I said, what? And I did that show.
So you're going to open for Randy Travis? I
already did it once, and I'm doing, they asked me to do it again, but I did it in that theater. And I'm singing his songs, and Randy Travis is sitting next to me. It was the most bizarre thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do if Cher actually was in my show watching me. I don't know what I would, because I know when Bob Mackie first started coming, I mean, he's known Cher and her family for so long that I was very cautious. I didn't want to hurt his feelings or say anything, you know, make fun too much because I didn't want to piss him off.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you want to be well, you are respectful. You're not doing a goof on her.
No, but I can tell some funny jokes about life and stuff. But I try and be respectful as possible.
Sure. Can I ask one other question that might be a little bit, it's sensitive in my head. I didn't know if I should ask it, but I'm going to. And I'm asking it in the most positive way. Why do you think the LGBTQ community likes, what is it about Cher, Judy Garland? It's always those two or three. What is it about those three that's so appealing to the group? Because I always seem to see that.
I think they're just strong people.
Mm-hmm. Whoops.
Been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
I swear I didn't hang up on you.
I thought, didn't like the question.
No, did you hear any of the answer?
I heard a little bit of it, and then it hung up, and then
crap.
When you called back, it rang my iPad across the room. It wouldn't ring my phone, the weirdest thing. Now it's working.
We were playing phone tag.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, if you could repeat the answer, that would be great, because I had the question.
Sure, of course. So I'm thinking the reason why we love these women so much, and just strong people in general, is because they've had to fight, you know, after Cher left Sonny, he kind of owned Cher. Like, I think he owned 90% of everything, and their lawyer owned the other 10%.
Can you imagine
that? So she kind of left that relationship with nothing and had to build her career back up. And then, you know, she tanked and went back up and tanked. And her career really started back up when she did, you know, the Moonstrucks and the Suspects and Witches of Eastwick. And then it's just went down again and up again. And same thing with Judy. Like, they knocked her down and brought her back up. And so I think just having to keep going is what we resonate with.
Sure, sure. And they were always kind to the community as well.
Totally.
Yeah, they've always been supportive, even all the way back then, right? I share with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's great. Well, it's been a great conversation. I've really enjoyed it, and I'm just glad
it was very good talking to you.
Will I see you
at the show?
I am trying to get to the show. Yeah, I'm talking to my wife about it. We want to go. So, yeah, but you only have a couple of tickets left. I got to call Kevin. He's my contact.
I'll see what I can do.
Oh, great. I appreciate it.
I think I know the artist.
Yeah. And thank
you. We'll get you in. I'll sneak you in the back door.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank Diana, please, for me for setting this up. I really appreciate
it. Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Very, very great working with her. Thanks again. And good luck with the show. And good luck with everything.
Have a great night.
You too.
Stay safe.
You too.
And
you too.
I'll see you Saturday night.
Great. Thanks. Thank you very much. That was Thirsty Burlington, a.k.a. Scott Townsend. If you want to see the movie, I happen to see it on Tubi. I keep mixing FUBU and Tubi and FUBI or whatever some of these streaming services are. I guess it's also on Hulu. I guess it's on Amazon Prime as well. It is, without a doubt, a very powerful portrayal. And it's worth seeing. It's definitely worth seeing and definitely worth seeing Thirsty at the Glens Falls, at the Charles Woods Theater, I should say, in Glens Falls. And that is happening this Saturday night. I know this is very, very timely. And you're probably hearing this after the fact. I wish we could record the show and play it on here, but I guess copyright does not allow that kind of thing. Thanks for listening. I'm going to make this one short. And thank you for listening to the podcast. Please subscribe if you haven't. And pass it on. I would like to grow this because I really want to emphasize talent that's in the capital region, talent that, you know, is born and raised in the capital region of upstate New York, talent that has left and made it big, or talent that is coming to the capital region, just like Thirsty. I save my blatant advertisement for the end of the podcast. If you're looking for entertainment for your next party, for your next wedding, for your next anniversary, for your next retirement party, I am available to do live and recorded music. I bring my keyboard. And if you give me information, I'm going to actually make this a special. If you hire me for a 3 or 4 hour party, okay, between now and let's say September the 1st, and you provide me some information, I will write a complimentary song parody about that person or persons and present it at the party. Now, again, you have to mention this podcast when, and if you mention the podcast when you book the party, I will throw in that song. You will get a copy of it. I will record it beforehand, but I will also, sing it live at your party, okay? And the party is good for anywhere within the Tri-City area. That's the Albany, Schenectady, Detroit. Well, I should say the capital region, or even the greater capital region, but this area. You know, I'm not going to Denver to do a party. But no offense, Denver. But yeah, if you want more information, I have testimonials. They're all on my website, which is hirerichie.com.
HIRERICHIE.com.
That's hirerichie.com.
Please help fund my retirement and hire me for your next party. And I will see you next time on Top Talent.